Good morning.
Good morning.
First reading is from Isaiah 53, 3 through 6. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity. And as one from whom the others hid their faces, he was despised, and we could held him of no content. Surely he had been borne our affinities and carried our diseases, yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. We are like sheep that have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of us all. And now from John 19, verses 28 through 29. After this, when Jesus knew all was finished, he said, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of the wine and on a branch of cassipit held it to his mouth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us all pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this day, the opportunity to meet in your presence. Thank you for forgiveness of sins. Thank you for voices that can be lifted up in worship. Thank you for our children. Thank you for all our people. And thank you for your church. As we are gathered today, God, in this time of Lent, we pray that your word will speak to us and touch us deeply. That if for any reason we have come unprepared, that your Spirit will just open our hearts and our minds to receive your message. We pray for your blessing now upon your word, and we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So Holy Week and Easter are approaching fast, and during this time of Lent, we have been busy with a series of messages called Famous Last Words. And we're contemplating Jesus' last words from the cross, his last words of love from the cross. And so far we've talked about the pardoning word when Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." And we've looked at the word of promise that Jesus spoke to one of the criminals that was crucified with him, when he said, "Truly, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise." We've considered Jesus' cry of abandonment. My God, why have you forsaken me? And last week we spent some time on a word of compassion. When Jesus said to his mother, Mary, "Woman, here is your son." And when he said to John, one of the disciples, "Here is your mother." In the midst of his agony and suffering on the cross, Jesus cares for the needs of others with compassion. And by speaking these words, he places us into family, and he places us into community. And that's what we talked about last week. So today we're focusing on the fifth word from the cross, which is a word of suffering. A word of suffering. In verse 28 of the gospel, according to John, Jesus says, "I am thirsty. I am thirsty." And what we see is genuine human pain. You know, sometimes we think that Jesus is the Son of God, and because of that, he must have had some special exemption from suffering. It's actually quite the opposite. His pain is all of our pain combined. That's why Isaiah 53 verse 4 says, "But he endured the suffering that should have been ours, the pain that we should have borne. In other words, in this moment, Jesus takes our suffering upon him, and he feels our pain for us. And he says, I am thirsty. He thirsts. And his thirst is really the parched lips of our humanity, dried out by the dry desert of our sin. So I want you to think about this for a moment. Jesus refreshed a wedding run dry at Cana with 180 gallons of water that he turned into wine. He promised living water to a Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. The kind of water that when you drink of it, you will never again be thirsty. When Jesus said to her, the water I give will become in that person a flowing fountain that gives eternal life. It'll never dry up and you will never be thirsty again. So think about this. He declared at the Feast of Tabernacles, as they were sprinkling the altar with water, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. If anyone believes in me, rivers of living water will flow out of that person's heart, as the scripture says. So let's just carefully consider this. He who is the fountain of living water, the source of living water, he is thirsty. Like it was written and prophesied many, many years before in Psalm 22, my strength has dried up like a broken clay pot, and my tongue sticks to my roof of my mouth. You, God, have left me to die in the dirt. Words spoken many years before. Jesus is thirsty for us. And his thirst becomes our refreshment. His thirst is our satisfaction. It is his pain that quenches our lips that are too parched to praise God. It is his suffering that soothes our throats that are too dry to confess our faith in him. There is living water that flows out of the dryness of his thirst. There's a stream of living water released from his side that was pierced by a sword. Water that just pours out into the wilderness, bringing resurrection and life to our dry and dusty bones. But for Jesus, in his hour of suffering, as he hangs there in the darkness on the cross in distress, there is only thirst. Do you remember how Jesus healed the sick? How he alleviated the pain and the suffering? How during his earthly ministry he looked with compassion and mercy on those who were suffering and brought healing to them. The leper, the servant of the centurion, the man who was possessed by a demon, the blind beggar Bartimaeus, the woman who lived with a hemorrhage, the man who was paralyzed. Jesus looked on all of them with compassion. And he saw in their suffering the results of our sin and the signs of our death. But the lips that once spoke blessing and peace are now chapped and broken. The tongue that once proclaimed the kingdom of God is now here, is thick with dryness. The throat that shouted the good news that God's reign had come with his coming is now as dry as a desert wind. And all of that suffering that he healed in others, he now bears in his own body on the cross. And so he cries out in need, "I am thirsty." The one who is Lord, the one who is creator of all, the one who created the waters of the oceans and the rivers and all of the lakes is thirsty. And he cries out into the darkness in helpless despair. The question is, will anyone hear him? Will anyone attend to him in his time of agony? What we see is that his only physicians are the cynical soldiers standing nearby, half drunk on their watch, drinking from their jug of cheap wine that had gone sour. Wine that is unfit to have a place on any dinner table. And maybe you've always looked at this and you've always seen this as a cold and callous act, you know, the soldiers offering sour wine to Jesus with a sponge on a stick. But maybe think about it this way. This was really all the soldiers had. They could have simply stood there and watched while passing the bottle amongst themselves. That would have been callous and cruel, right? But they shared what they had with Jesus. Maybe as they looked upon Jesus, who was now facing his tortured death, there was just an ounce of compassion in the hearts of these hardened soldiers. Maybe one of them said something like, "Give the poor man a drink before he dies. It's the least we can do." So they hoist up the last of their wine on a sponge and they put it to his dry and dying lips. Now, just the night before, when they were all sitting together around a table for the Passover meal, when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, which we are about to celebrate, just the night before, he said to the disciples, "I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And so he says to them, "From now on, I'm not going to drink any wine until I drink new wine with you in my Father's kingdom." And so here on the cross, the fruit of the vine again touches his lips. It is sour wine, yes, but it's the fruit of the vine nonetheless. Because the kingdom of God is come. In his death, Jesus establishes God's reign and his kingdom. And before he dies, he drinks one last toast in this old creation. He drinks the bitter and the sour cup so that we might drink of his sweet and new wine. You hear these words on every first Sunday of the month. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then after the same manner, also he took the cup when they had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So he gives his sacred blood for wine. And it's a foretaste of that great feast that will come when wine will flow in unending joy in his kingdom that has no end. And that's why you will hear these words again today at the communion table. We come in hope, believing that this bread and this cup are a pledge and a foretaste of the feast of love, of which we shall partake when his kingdom has fully come. When with unveiled face we shall behold him, made like unto him in his glory. So Jesus drinks of the cup of our suffering and our misery so that we might be refreshed and renewed by his cup. So listen, we are all familiar with pain as well. There are many different ways in which we suffer also. Because we're still on this side of eternity, right? God's kingdom has not fully come for us yet. So when you are in pain, I want you to remember Jesus in his thirst on the cross. When the most the world can offer you is a drink of sour wine, when it seems like your suffering is unquenchable, remember Jesus in his thirst. How he is thirsting for your salvation. And then know this, okay? You are never alone in your time of need and your time of suffering. Because the one who suffered on the cross is there with you in your time of hardship. Maybe you don't feel it, or maybe you, in your mind you're not fully convinced. But he is there with you according to his promise. And so remember Jesus in your own pain and suffering. And also think of him in your time of spiritual thirst, when your prayers and your devotions are dried up like a broken clay pot, and your tongue sticks to the roof of your mouth so that it's difficult for you to sing your hymns of praise. And simply come to him. Come to the fountain of living water that flowed from his pierced side to the font of your baptism, and to the cup of his supper where he refreshes you with his body and his blood. Do not let anything get between you and his cup, for he will quench your thirst as no one else can. So remember Jesus in your pain and your suffering, and remember him in your spiritual dryness. And then also remember those Roman soldiers, okay, who tended to Jesus' dying request. You know what Jesus said in Matthew 25? Before this, said, I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And so come to think of it, that's what the soldiers did when Jesus was hanging on the cross, right? And it's what Jesus says to us as his followers. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And we say, when, Lord? When were you thirsty? And when did we give you something to drink? And Jesus answers, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Whenever you did it for any of my people, no matter how important or unimportant they seemed, you did it for me. So listen closely. You see, Jesus is in the one who is thirsty in our world. Maybe it's someone who cries out for a cup of cool water in the heat of the day. Or maybe the poor man or woman who has no food or drink to sustain them. Or a child who needs some comfort, or a lonely person looking for some company, or someone who needs someone to pray for them. Jesus is there, hidden in the least, for you and me to refresh as we have been refreshed by Jesus. For you and me to serve as we have been served by Jesus. Jesus said, and if, as my representatives, you give even a cup of cold water to a little child, you will surely be rewarded. We never know. We never know when and where the voice of Jesus will call out to us, I am thirsty. And when you hear it, stand ready to give that person a cup of refreshment. And so today we simply say, Jesus, for your thirst and your agony, for your cry in a time of need, for your drinking the sour wine of our disobedience, so that we might seek and find refreshment for our souls in you. For all of that, we give you our thanks and our praise. Amen. Let us pray. Merciful God, thank you for your message this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus, your Son, who drank the bitter cup on our behalf so that we can drink of the sweet wine. As we celebrate the Lord's Supper today, may we again realize what it is we are celebrating. And so thank you that because Jesus was thirsty, we never have to thirst. He is the living water that enables us to never be thirsty again. May we all be so in tune with you, God, and with your Spirit that when we hear someone cry out in need, we can hear the words of Jesus in them, I am thirsty. And may we then be ready to help quench that thirst, whether it be a physical need or an emotional need or a spiritual need. Help us to give cups of water to all those in need. We ask this and we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.